The United States has seen an escalating number of mass public shootings in recent years, each challenging our ability as a society to make sense of and respond to unimaginable tragedy. A new documentary film recounts one of the worst mass shootings in contemporary U.S. history, the 1984 McDonald's massacre in San Ysidro, California. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Charlie Minn is the director of a number of documentary films that explore violence and its lingering effect on victims and society, and his latest film, 77 Minutes, will open in El Paso this Friday. Charlie Minn, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Many of your past films, you've been on the show a number of times. You've made, I think you said, 21 films before the show in just the last 6 or 7 years?
Correct.
Incredible output. Many of those films focused on narco-culture, the violence over in Juarez and around Mexico, sort of the roots of that, but mostly in the last decade. What is it about this event that took place in San Ysidro, California, a little over 30 years ago that drew you to this story?
My pattern has shown someone who represents innocent victims, and we have plenty more here at the McDonald's in San Ysidro, which borders Tijuana, but is on the California side. And at the time, it was the largest mass shooting in the history of the United States.
Right.
Now it ranks fifth because of similar incidents at Sandy Hook, Virginia Tech, Killeen, Texas, and, of course, this summer at the Orlando Pulse nightclub. This was a hate crime. The killer hated Mexican people. And I'm here to give the innocent Mexican people a voice once again.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned San Ysidro being a border tale, too, that this area was annexed by San Diego, so it's sort of part of that incorporated area and squeeze between San Diego and Tijuana. So it is a story set on the border, and so most of the victims were Mexican-Americans or actually Mexicans who traveled back and forth between Tijuana and
both.
San Diego?
Some lived in Tijuana. Some lived in the South Bay, which is Chula Vista, Imperial Beach.
But like El Paso in the 80s, very fluid border.
Right.
A lot of family connections both sides of the border.
Right. So we had all kinds of people that were going back and forth or were living right on the border on the USA side. This was an attack on Mexico. The killer's wife, the day after, gave an interview to one of the newscasters in San Diego and said, "My husband hated immigrants and hated Mexican people, so that's why he targeted the San Ysidro McDonald's."
You think you mentioned that a lot of your films deal with the victims of this kind of violence and almost unimaginable violence, your previous films dealing with the larger issues of narco-culture and cartel violence and corruption in Mexico. But most of your films deal with people who are victims who are at the very bottom, if you will, of society. They're almost powerless. They're just trying to get by, and they somehow fall into these webs of violence.
Well, those are my heroes, poor people who need a voice. My heroes are not pro athletes. My heroes are the poor people in Juarez, Culiacan, Tijuana, who are just trying to get through the day. Where's their next meal coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Gut check time, Charles. Those are my heroes, underdogs, poor people. I avoid the rich. I love the poor.
Mm-hmm. What is in your own background you think has led you to that focus?
Just being an underdog. I've always felt like an underdog. Playing sports, I was not always big in size. Growing up, being an Asian American, I faced racial slurs, and I always felt as if anything I achieved, I had to fight for it. Not physically, but my whole life has been, I call it gut check time. And I think in order to attain success, you need that guts, you need that work ethic, and pain. I'm actually attracted to pain. I think it's pain is good. And I think that something is waiting for you at the end, and that's success.
Well, you certainly explore a lot of that in this film, the physical pain, but also the lingering pain, the emotional pain, the spiritual pain that your films, and this one in particular, spends a lot of time not just recounting the where, what, when, and how, but also many years, in this case 32 years later, how the victims and the officers that responded are still processing this incredible tragedy.
Yeah, I mean, so many people were so deeply affected. The officers went through counseling, kind of like my first film, The Nightmare in Las Cruces. A lot of the Las Cruces PD went through counseling, and I've always said when you kill one person, you're really killing about 30 because they have friends, family members, coworkers, schoolmates. So anytime you kill one person, there's a trail of victims that follow that.
I'm thinking back to 84. I remember this, how shocking this was, because it was a time when, frankly, we were not used to in America these kinds of single shooter incidents where you have mass casualties and death. I guess the only thing prior to that of a similar magnitude would have been the 1966 tower shootings at UT Austin, which a lot of discussion about how these major violent events in America, there was little context for Americans to kind of process that. Do you think that made it even more difficult on the victims because it was just so far out of anyone's universe of what could happen in your daily life?
This certainly was a shock because, like you mentioned, 1966, the tower shooting, America had gone 18 years before we saw the next big one, and that was McDonald's. And then after that, it kind of came in rapid succession. So now we see it with consistency.
It's depressingly
consistent. I think part of the reason is because the media keeps glorifying the killer. Now, I don't mention the killer's name once in this documentary.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that. Most of the focus is on the victims and
all of it,
the activities
much,
of what happened. And you talk about the killer, but you don't spend a lot of time talking about motives, and you never mention the name. I know that there is some discussion in the media over the last few years with the rise in these kinds of mass killings of maybe a movement to move away from ever even mentioning the name of the killer. Do you think that will actually make an impact on people who want to carry out these events?
You mean in this case for my film?
Well, I think the denial of any publicity of who the person was, do you think that actually will impact potential killers in the future?
I do think it will reduce the murders in our country because then killers will know going in, their name won't be mentioned. I think glorifying killers or giving killers too much attention creates copycats. My final straw was when the Boston Marathon bomber was put on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. I mean, what is this? I mean, as if he's some kind of a celebrity. Who is he, Paul McCartney or Mick Jagger? I mean, these people should be discredited and completely ignored. The only time you should mention the killer's name is if he's on the run. Then you have to mention it to protect the public. But the focus should be on the victims. And as long as I can control it, people will see in this film, if they go see it, that the victims are the complete focus.
But don't we as an audience and as society members and in case of victims want to know, though, just what makes someone want to do this?
I agree. And I do mention as little as I can about him. And I think I gave enough information without going into his name. The reason why he committed this crime was because he hated Mexican people. And Mexican people need to fight back. I mean, the crime scene video just came out. This is the second city where the movie's going to play. It'll then go to L.A. and then it'll go on Amazon where millions can watch it. So I'm hoping a movement can be started, some kind of a statement from the Mexican community that this is unacceptable. Now, when I say fight back, I don't mean through violence. I mean through education, intelligent dialogue, and smart movements.
This comes on the heel of a year in our own internal politics in which Mexico, Mexicans, immigrants, a lot of derogatory things have been said, a lot of inciting words have been spilled in our political race right now. Is this timely that you would put this film out now? When did you start this? Were you already part of this election year when you began this process of the
film? I started
it thinking about that
4 months ago, and the movie went to San Diego first because that's where it happened. El Paso is my second home, so I brought it here next. But it's just by coincidence that the whole anti-Mexican sentiment with Donald Trump and the wall, it just, so to answer your question, it is timely, but I didn't intend it that way. But with mass shootings being, you know, so common today, the divide between civilians and police, that's another big timely issue that's going on today, and that's in my film. And it really, I would say, in 1984 with this McDonald's massacre, that was one of the first incidents where civilians and police were really at each other's throats after a mass shooting.
So it's timely, but maybe shocking that here 32 years later, some of the undercurrents in that 1984 killing are still, we're still grappling with them. in our society. This was almost unprecedented at its time. You know, I think part of the tale of this massacre is the police response that because we were not used to these kinds of events, we didn't know how to handle them. What came out of this particular tragedy that you think has changed how police are prepared to deal with these situations?
That's a tough question to answer, Charles, because Orlando this summer took 3 hours.
Right.
So how much progress have we made? It wasn't until 1999, Columbine, where things really were changed with SWAT. You would have thought it was this McDonald's massacre. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you excuse the fact that it took 77 minutes for the police to take down the shooter during the McDonald's massacre? They got there in 7 minutes. That wasn't the problem. 7 minutes after the first shot was fired, they were there. But how does one killer control 175 police officers?
Well, the difficulty, I guess, the sort of fog of crisis is that, you know, one doesn't know what's really going on. And as that time and as your film lays out over those 77 minutes, it gave this person, this killer, more time to do more killing. But, of course, at the time, no one knew if he was alone, if there was multiple people in there with guns. He had really a lot of firepower as well, which I guess in 1984, police were mostly
using 38s.
Right, just handguns.
Well, the police have their side. The victims have their side. Obviously, they're not going to meet in the middle on what they think.
Yeah.
And at the end, if the audience goes, I'm very curious to get their reaction.
So how was the reaction in San Diego? You've been out there to the community where this happened.
I would say out of the 21 films I've made, this has been received the best. And I've never seen so many people come back and watch it a second time. So that's an indication to me that people really felt this film. And again, I brought it to El Paso because it's my second home. And the other big reason, as I said earlier, the Mexican people have to fight back. This is totally unacceptable. If you see the crime scene video,
yeah,
it's beyond comprehension.
We should warn people there are some gruesome images in this film because you use a lot of archival footage from the scene.
Yeah, he shot babies.
Yeah.
He shot pregnant women. He shot children. Revolting and
really
beyond comprehension.
Well, Charlie, you're going to be here this coming Friday opening the film at Premier Cinemas. Will you be there in the audience to take
some questions?
I'm always
here every weekend to take questions from the audience. So the audience will be able to watch the film and ask questions to the director afterwards.
Fantastic. And that's this coming Friday and Saturday. And
yeah, the whole weekend, actually, starting on November 11th.
Okay, so all the screenings this coming weekend, you'll be present for Q&A, and then the film will run at least a week there at Premier Cinemas.
Yes.
Well, always great to see you. I've been excited to see how the turnout for this film is. Good luck with your future projects.
Thank you.
I've been discussing the documentary film 77 Minutes with director Charlie Min. 77 Minutes chronicles the 1984 McDonald's massacre in San Ysidro, California, that left 21 people dead and 24 injured, and explores some of the effects of that trauma decades later on victims and police. 77 Minutes will open at the Premier Cinema at Bassett Place beginning this Friday, November 11th. For more information on the film, log on to 77minutesfilm.com. A final program note, the Film Salon will screen Alfred Hitchcock's 1955 classic To Catch a Thief, starring Cary Grant and Grace Kelly, this Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema. Tickets are just $3, either online or at the box office. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.